Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Rooting for the uniforms because don't know who's in them,
of course.
So, you know,
well, and ever since free agency really blossomed, it's more and more like that anyway. You know, the Saints were blessed to have the same guy at quarterback for 15 years, and that's just unheard of anymore. And to have players that stick around for double digit seasons is almost, you know, the exception now. So
other than a quarterback, for the most part, that's right, because good luck figuring out who's who. And then Deuce made a good point about the kicker. It's like, and I thought the same thing watching the game, well, you may as well stick with this guy because you can't keep bringing people in and keep missing extra points. I don't know what else you do. This guy at least could kick it deep into the end zone.
Yeah, and if you're not scoring touchdowns, you don't have to worry about kicking extra points. So
that was just uncalled for. Counselor, you've been warned. Counselor, you've been warned one more time.
You're going to hold
and
me.
And I'll declare a mistrial.
And throw me in Tommy jail.
Yes. But, yeah, and the other thing, too, is that the Saints have not lost any ground, but they didn't gain any ground, but it seems as though the Titanic's going down, but it's not really in the NFL.
If the playoffs were to start today, which obviously they would not, but if they were to, the Saints be in, they'd be a wild card.
Number seven, yeah, and it's the future's right there, man, and I know it's too early to start talking about control your own destiny, however.
Well, look at the bright side.
Grammatical errors people have, problems people have with that phrase, but
if all the other teams that have been losing along with the Saints keep losing, then the Saints don't have to win.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you go on a golf course, you're shooting 85. Well, guess what? The other guy shot 86.
You win.
Or 84, so you're still in it. Thank you, Dave. We're talking about communication, social media, rather, and communication, and what do you believe? What do you choose not to believe? Twitter instituted some new rules, but I think every time they try to control it, it gets worse. It's kind of like when you do your own sheetrock. You think it looks pretty good, but you got to go and touch it a little bit, and then you mess it up. And let's talk to Joshua Dar, assistant professor of political communication at LSU. How you doing, Josh?
Doing good. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on and your time as always. So what is it that Twitter is doing now in an attempt to do what?
Well, they're trying to once again push back on the spread of misinformation on their platform. They rolled out a label at the, you may remember, during the first couple days after the election that lasted a while, that immediately became a meme. Immediately became like parodied across the internet by big brands, which is the main thing that kills a meme. But it became sort of a joke, and they're trying to change the colors to make it stand out more, trying to get people to click through to see debunking of misinformation. But of course, that draws attention to it, which is one of the reasons that it spreads on the platform in the first place.
Have you ever tried to do your own sheetrock work or not, Professor?
I have not. I've only lived in Louisiana for 6 years, so it's probably coming. But
it's
not
like
yet.
That. It's like that because you don't really know what you're doing, and you try, and it's like, well, okay, well, maybe if I just touch it one more time, and then you screw the whole thing up. And that's what it seems like is going on with the flow of information and social media. Is there any metric to use? Is there any way to gauge what's true and what's not? And then this really, Professor, gets me playing mind games where I begin to wonder, well, what is absolute truth?
Well, you're going to have to talk to a philosophy professor for that one. But in terms of misinformation, you know, I think it comes down to sort of can you say that there's a scientific consensus on this? Can you not? Can you say that this is a deliberate attempt to spread a misinformation by certain actors? Obviously, that, you know, people will say, well, that's just my opinion. But if it goes against scientific consensus and it is actively harmful to public health or to individuals' health, I think these platforms are starting to get tired of being held responsible for what people are doing on these platforms. And so it's natural as a business that you'd want to, you know, kick the people out that are making a ruckus in your establishment. At the same time, people view them as these platforms for free speech. And so they expect that they're going to be able to do that. And so these social media companies are in a real bind with what to do. It seems like most of them have decided we need to do something, but they haven't figured out what that is yet.
You can put a warning label that says click here to have it debunked or to find out more information or to verify or fact check or what have you. But that brings us to confirmation bias, and you can lead a horse to water, right? But you can't make him drink. Talk about that, Professor, if you will, what confirmation bias is for people that don't know and how it can be hard to get people to look for the truth in something that disagrees with what they already think.
Yeah, I think you just summarized it fairly well. The notion of confirmation bias being that people sort of go to the internet, go to the news, go to the media to be told they're right or to find out that they're right. This notion of using orange and red and yellow icons and putting labels on tweets implies a certain level of intention to learn and media literacy that I don't know that we can assume. People get something out of reading the news. They get something out of reading Twitter. It is not always what is correct. People don't want to be told they're wrong. And so if they can, you know, get off Twitter, Google something, see a YouTube video that shows they're right, they're just going to move from Twitter to YouTube. It's tough. It's like whack-a-mole.
Is there a platform that's consistently worse than others?
They're all kind of getting junked up a little bit. You know, I think Twitter is in some ways better, even because better than Facebook, I would say, because Facebook has such a huge user base. Mm-hmm. Twitter tends to be people that are very involved and interested in the things that they're interested in. It tends to be, you know, journalists, politicians, sports obsessives, those sorts of people. But Facebook is everybody. And it is easy to game that algorithm and have social spread of information among people that are just casually sharing things that are dubiously true. And it's coming from somebody you know and trust, whereas Twitter tends to be like, who are the political elites and the reporters and the politicians and sports figures that I care about? And so I would say Facebook is still kind of the Wild West. They just cannot effectively moderate that thing because of the scale.
You just said three words that mean so much, and I would ask you to expand on them a little if you can. And I know you're not an internet expert or anything, but game the algorithm. I mean, that is everything in essence, right? That's going on, and a lot of people, including me, don't quite understand how they do that or what it means, but maybe you could break that down for us?
Absolutely, yeah. Facebook is not somebody sitting in a control room pulling levers, right? It is a mathematical formula that gives you more of what you like, gives you more of what you do, and gives you more of what keeps your eyeballs on that platform. So if you click on something, this came out a couple weeks ago in a Washington Post investigation. If you clicked on the anger icon instead of the like icon, you got 5 points for anger and 1 point for like. And so they started pushing you more stuff that made you angry because it led to you making comments. It led to you searching out stuff on the platform, led to you basically staying there longer so they could put more ads in front of you.
Sometimes people hear things and they just catch the tail end. And when they think they heard something, they realize that they should have been listening to the whole thing. Say that again, please, would you?
You get 5 points for being angry and 1 point for liking something. So they push you more stuff that makes you angry. The algorithm it just wants you to stay. it wants your eyes looking at Facebook.
Doesn't matter whether it's true, false, immaterial. If it gets you angry, they're going to send it to you?
at five times more than things you like. That's what this investigation showed. And you know, Facebook, when they get found out, they change. But they can't, you know, ultimately they'll go back to it because it works and because their job is to put ads in front of you.
So when you talk about algorithms and I guess you're talking about programming people, aren't you, in a way? And that goes to the intrinsic power of social media, and people that are regulating it, are manipulating it. You can make people believe pretty much anything you want, whether it's true or not?
I wouldn't say that. I think people do have a sense of what is true and what is not. I think people do know how to be dubious of things. And, you know, research on misinformation shows that people do at least have a sense of what a credible media outlet is and that sort of thing. But information that comes from people you know, information that is shared right next to pictures of your friends' kids and that sort of thing, it gets interpreted differently. And so it's not all about journalism in the way that it used to be when people would seek out their news. Now the news finds them, and the path that it finds you on is determined by the algorithm that Facebook is giving you. And so your exposure to news is based largely on that mathematical formula that they keep tinkering with in Menlo Park, California.
Let me take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back. 504-260-1870. I'd like to know where you get your news from and what do you consider a credible source? Because I know people text us and I'll text them back and say, well, do you have a source for that? And you can find almost anything you want on the internet. So at what point or how do you determine what is a credible source and what isn't? We're talking with doctor or professor, might be a doctor, assistant professor of clinical communication at LSU, Joshua Dar, about Twitter and social media and what's real and what's not. Where do you get your information and what do you believe? Because it's not as though people are coming into this with he is doctor. Thank you, Dr. Dar. He is, not really, he is, people are coming into this from both sides with an agenda. The people on the social media side that regulate the sites want to lead you in one way or the other for whatever reason. And then you, as a consumer of this information, because of confirmation bias, you kind of want to be led in that area. We'll be back. Tommy Tucker, WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, here we are Monday morning, November 22nd, the anniversary of the JFK assassination, day 85 of Ida recovery, 3 days before Thanksgiving. Cooler, breezy today, highs of 68, another front comes through, and tonight you're going to feel it. Lows 38 North Shore, the typical 10-degree difference, 48 on the south. Then tomorrow, a cold beginning, highs only in the lower 60s, warms up Wednesday, and then Thanksgiving, I'm going to call it hot. Highs of 76 with a late shower, but for Thanksgiving, that's hot. Black Friday will be cooler with highs of 59 and then 62 and 64 highs respectively for Saturday and Sunday. We're talking to Dr. Joshua Dar, Assistant Professor of Political Communications at LSU, about Twitter issuing some new rules, changing the colors, which seems kind of silly, as though it's going to help people find what is truth and what is not. And as the professor said earlier, I asked him, well, what is absolute truth? You need a philosopher to tell you that, because there are so many different versions of what is truth, and it'll have you really scratching your head sometimes. Somebody texted in, sometimes people get so invested in a belief, it's kind of like the spouse who hears about spouse's infidelity. You just don't want to believe it, so you discount what you don't want to believe and find ways, even if illogical, to see what you want to be true, or the other way, you're convinced they're cheating and logic won't sway you. The cheater is the algorithm, LOL, they can make you believe. Dr. Dar, is that pretty close to accurate?
It's true that our brains have ways of protecting us from information that would upset us or that would contradict things we already know. You know, it's in technical terms is avoiding cognitive dissonance. You don't want to hear disconfirmation of something that you already believe, because it might require you to shuffle some things around in your head. And so in a world where somebody telling you that you're right is 5 seconds away at your fingertips, it's too easy for our brains to be hardwired into that notion. Now, I don't want to overstate it. People do want to be correct at some level. They do want information they can trust at some level. But it's harder and harder to know what that is. And people are sort of losing trust in mainstream journalism at high rates. And so we don't know where it's going, I would say. It's pretty clear that there's a change coming, but we don't know.
Cognitive dissonance has always been around. I can remember it way back when I was in college learning what it was and so forth. But it seems as though now people are weaponizing cognitive dissonance. Does that make sense or not?
Well, they're weaponizing the fact that people want to avoid it. they don't want to feel it. It's a bad feeling.
That would be a better way to put it.
Yeah, and so there that normal psychological tendency that we have to avoid disconfirmation of and things that make us rethink things, when you only have so many media outlets to turn to, when you only have so many people to talk to, you kind of have to maybe feel it and be a little bit more flexible. Now you don't have to feel it anymore. Now you have the option of being told you're right all the time. And if you want to take it, you can. Now, not everybody does, and there are personality differences. Some people really care about being right. Some people actually like feeling like their beliefs are challenged. So it's a matter of personal preference. But enough people don't want it that we've got this problem.
A journalist for a national sports publication told me off the record some years ago that, and I know, you used to talk about perish or publish in a college context or university context, but that they are under pressure to turn so many stories, both for the internet and the publication, that sometimes they'll go with a story that they almost know is false, and then the denial of the false story becomes another story, and then from there it leads to something else. So, in essence, they're publishing fiction to get a reaction to that fiction, which then becomes real, and it's almost like a through-the-looking-glass thing, but I guess the drive for content is pushing some of this as well?
Yeah, I remember studying the 24-hour news cycle in grad school, and that seems almost quaint in how slow it is compared to what we see now, right? Like this notion that we have 24 hours of TV to fill. Like now you're hitting refresh when stories come out and you get 10 different takes. I think it is interesting to see that in sports. I think some of that has bled over into politics. But, of course, in sports, there's almost no consequences. It is not it does not have real-world effects in the way that politics does. And so you can be wrong about who's going to play in a game, who do you think is going to win a game, who's going to sign with what team, and it's fine. Not really the case in politics where people are forming belief systems and are actually casting the votes that determine who wins and loses. And so a little bit of sports journalism tactics in politics is probably more harmful in politics than it is in sports.
But down to new content, got to get clicks,
yes.
Got to get clicks, and so much suffers as a result of that?
Yes, and newsrooms have these measures that are hanging over people's heads, like how many clicks you got. Mm-hmm. It was harder to know how many people were reading your stories back in the day, so you were writing maybe more to impress your peers or to impress your editors, or it was a different audience than how many clicks am I getting and how many people am I driving to this website and that we have that we sell ads on. Again, it all comes back to getting ads in front of you, which newspapers did too, but they tended to be for local businesses. They tended to be sort of part of the community in that way, whereas the ads on these online news sites are whoever wants to buy them, and Facebook and Google get a huge share of it, which they then pump back into developing that algorithm.
I asked you before the break, or at least I mentioned it before the break, about credibility, and if you're going to get in an argument with a friend over something and you start exchanging sources, I know one thing you have to be careful of is you think you have a new source, but it's actually the echo of another source that echoed another source that echoed another source, so you think you have four sources, and they're all referring to the same initial article. How do you go about determining credibility, or if somebody legitimately wants to find the truth and find out what the hell is going on here, what would you suggest?
It's difficult. I think triangulating that is not a bad idea, right? Like, you may not agree with all of these sources, you know, sort of well-respected national sources, but if they're all saying the same thing, they might be onto something. You know, if there's clear links, I mean, hyperlinks are really important. I think people expect that now. They want to be able to click on things in the article and just go to what your information was, which was never a thing before. So, you know, if those clicks are going to sort of peer-reviewed scientific stuff or to believable sources, I think that that's a thing you can do. You know, news literacy is just getting much more complicated. I mean, I think we can bemoan the fact that it's getting lower, but it's also just a lot harder. I think we need to acknowledge that as well. But, you know, confirmation by multiple sources is kind of the bedrock of good journalism. And so if places are doing that, I think you can at least be somewhat clear that something is true that they're reporting.
But on the other side of it, you have to want to do that, and you have to be willing to work to do that, which a lot of us aren't willing to, either don't want or aren't willing to do. And then you look at some of the deep fakes that are possible now, and I think we're just in the infancy of that, are we not? And how concerned are you? And for people that don't know what a deep fake is, perhaps you could explain it to them. And then how worried are you about the exponential increase in that as we move forward?
Sure. So, yeah, I think that's something that misinformation people, scholars, have been on the lookout for ever since that technology was developed. I don't know that it's totally panned out yet, but obviously it has the potential to. That deepfake idea being that people can essentially manipulate video to make it look like somebody is saying something that they never said. And there's, you see very convincing ones of Barack Obama with Jordan Peele's voice, his excellent impression. You know, maybe we'll see some of Donald Trump with the new guy on SNL who's so good at it. But it's clear that you can make people believe something that isn't true technologically. And now people can still kind of tell the difference. The technology is maybe not 100% there. But as the technology improves, not only for faking content, but for targeting you with things that you're going to believe, that is certainly something that people need to keep an eye on, because there are some pretty realistic ones. It is a little bit scary.
And it seems like technology begets technology, where before you know it, it is going to be hard to tell the difference.
It is, yeah. And all the technology is going in the same direction, which is bringing things to you, right? Like finding you. The algorithm helps them find you with content that you are going to like. And what it's doing is changing people's expectations of what reading the news is or obtaining news is, where they don't think they have to pay for it and they don't think they have to look for it. And so whatever finds them for free is going to be what the news that they consume looks like. And so there's no investment of money in good journalism, in supporting your local community through your local newspaper. Instead, people think, well, you know, I can get the news by just sort of laying back here passively, and it'll find me through the algorithm on my social media feed. This is sort of the notion behind echo chambers and filter bubbles that people can find themselves in, although the scholarship is not at all clear that those exist or that they are dangerous. It's something that people are worried about, and it gets back to that idea of passive news consumption without investing money in obtaining your news.
Professor, I could talk to you about this all day long, but I know you got other things to do, as do I, but we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Great. Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Dr. Joshua Dar, Assistant Professor of Political Communications at LSU. And it's getting harder and harder to find out what's real and to discipline yourself to want to find out what is real and what is true. 9:38 now, 22 before 10. We'll talk about oysters when we come back. Right now, let's take a look at traffic on WWL.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.